This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Now, before we start, you might want to check out our other podcasts covering topics like personal development and minimalism, money, health, relationships, and more. So to optimize your life in other areas, just search for Optimal Living Daily in your podcast app. Now, on to the show. This is Optimal Relationships Daily, episode 2127, Why Chasing Attraction is a Losing Strategy in Love, by Evan Mark Katz of evanmarkkatz.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to ORD for this Saturday show. I'm your host, Greg Audino. Glad to have you here with me once again for another installment. And in this one, we're going to hear from Evan Mark Katz about how to make sure you're looking for the right things in a partner when searching for love, and how to make adjustments if doing so is something you struggle with. So let's get right to it as we optimize your life. Why Chasing Attraction is a Losing Strategy in Love, by Evan Mark Katz of evanmarkkatz.com. I have a guy friend who is perpetually single. He's got everything going for him. Advanced degree, successful, funny, social, ambitious, good values. And yet every time I talk with him, it's the same old story. Another woman just broke his heart. When I ask him the details of the latest debacle, it usually comes down to the fact that he's a nice, relationship-oriented man who earnestly follows through and communicates his feelings. And she is an aloof woman who tries to consider him as a romantic partner, but ultimately would rather chase an unattainable jerk. It's classic, really. But when I ask my friend what makes him fall for these emotionally unavailable women, you know what he tells me? I like them because they're smart and they're hot. Got it. Objectively, wouldn't you tell this man that perhaps smart and hot aren't necessarily the best criteria to evaluate a lifetime romantic partner? Of course you would. You would tell him to appreciate her inner beauty, her warm smile, her generosity, her sense of humor, all the things you appreciate about your own girlfriends. Yet, when you look at your own life, at your consistent pining for tall, handsome, brilliant, fascinating men, you do the exact same thing. Worse, you defend it in the same way that my friend does. I can't help what I'm attracted to. You're right, you can't help what you're attracted to, but you can acknowledge that the men you're attracted to aren't always good long-term relationship partners. You can acknowledge that attraction can be blinding and allow you to overlook a man's flaws for way too long. You can acknowledge that attraction isn't either a 10 or a 1, that there's usually something in between. And you can acknowledge that for my guy friend, his addiction to smart, hot, aloof, and inaccessible women isn't really working for him. By the way, I'm not telling you anything that I haven't considered in my own life. As a man who's been married for 3 years, I finally started to get into a rhythm with my wife. We've got a house. We've got a kid. We both work from home and spend a lot of time together. And unless something changes, you know what we spend most of our time doing? Working. When we're not working, you know what we do? We figure out how we're going to decorate the house. We plan weekends out of town to visit family. We throw dinner parties, karaoke parties, and wine tastings. We go food shopping and make chopped salads with beets. We watch Castle and as many minutes of Dancing with the Stars as I can tolerate. We retreat to our offices where she watches funny YouTube videos and I obsessively manage my fantasy football team. We go upstairs, wash our faces, talk about our days, tell each other we love each other, and snuggle before drifting off to sleep. It is a wonderful life. You know how much time we spend being intimate? A couple of hours a week. You know how much time we spend talking about string theory or Proust or what happens to us when we die? A lot less. So if 95% of your life is spent on matters that are neither brainy nor sexy, Wouldn't it make sense to find a partner who is compatible in all those other areas rather than finding the smartest, hottest guy imaginable who doesn't want to throw dinner parties, doesn't want to see your mother, doesn't want to let you choose the furniture you want, and doesn't want to raise a family together? I think so. Naturally, you have to find your partner attractive and intelligent. But he doesn't have to be that attractive or that intelligent to have a very happy life together. As a dating coach for 8 years, I have long advocated for putting compatibility on the same level as chemistry, instead of making chemistry the most important factor in your decision-making. Because, as you know, you can get the smartest, hottest, tallest, richest guy in the world, and you'll most likely discover that he's a selfish narcissist who's just not that into you. Thus, there is wisdom in compromising a little on looks and brains in order to find the happiness that has eluded you when you exalt attraction above all. Believe me, I did not settle. Neither should you. Just consider the relative importance of a chiseled jawline and a master's degree versus the ability to love you unconditionally and the desire to make you happy. I think it's clear what should win out. You just listened to the post titled, Why Chasing Attraction is a Losing Strategy in Love, by Evan Mark Katz of evanmarkkatz.com, and I'll be back with my commentary right after this. And thank you so much to Evan for this post. Definitely a reality check and very grounding for a lot of people, I am sure. I love his take about finding balance and making compromises. Now, this is one thing I think we need to do in every area of life, and it is certainly not something we are incapable of, no matter how strong we feel that our urges are in one direction or another. In fact, if you can speak so openly about having preferences that really steer the ship of your decision-making, it can be even more imperative to find the balance of honoring that feeling while still adjusting your behavior to make compromises accordingly. One thing I like to keep in mind and encourage others to do is the idea of having negotiables versus non-negotiables. So really, list out all of what you're looking for in a partner or a job, a place to live, or whatever. And then force yourself to decide on which you are willing to flex on versus which are actual necessities for you. And surely, the more necessities or non-negotiables you have, the more difficult it might be to find what you want. And it's up to you to decide on where the line is for you between your principles and your results. So think about that, friends. Again, it applies to many different areas of life. That's going to do it for another episode, though. I thank you for joining and for doing right by your relationships today. Enjoy your Saturday and be sure to join us again tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.